So 2 weeks ago, I was in Austria, and then last weekend, I was in Sydney, and today, I'm in Leeston, so that's exciting. I love New Life. I'm very much a part of New Life. I go to Living Waters. Wes and Janet Chambers are my pastors. They have been for years. And yeah, so I love to be able to come and speak at New Life churches, because that's the movement that I'm ordained under, and that's a movement that I believe we're going to rock New Zealand with the gospel. You see, I think it's time to stop worshipping the God of rugby and start worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think it's time that we start believing for stadiums to be filled throughout New Zealand where we come together to worship the King. Cool, 2 years, that's great. What a good start. I'll take two. Let's pray. Jesus, help. Amen. I just want to play a little video clip. You see, because sometimes I think we can be so busy in life, so busy in family, so busy doing church. Actually, sometimes we can be so busy being a Christian, we can forget all about Jesus. And this whole gig is about Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. So check this out. I made this wee video for you. He's not just a name in an ancient book. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He got torn apart on a cross for you, as you, because he loves you. But you see, all he wants is all of you. You can know a lot about Jesus. You can know heaps about Jesus without knowing him at all. So my question today is, do you know a lot about Jesus, or do you know Jesus? You see, because if you know Jesus, and if you're in love with Jesus, you will speak to people about Jesus. Because when I met my wife, everyone knew that I was in love. And we actually spent thousands of dollars on one day, one blimmin' day. Photographers and everything were there, just because I wanted to show everyone how much I love my wife and how much she loves me. So why is it that we're so scared to share the gospel? Why is it that fear comes in and it's a louder voice than Holy Ghost? I believe it's time for the body of Christ to divorce fear and start stepping into truth. Because you're more than a conqueror. You've got the same God that's in you that rose Jesus up from the dead. If we can just put the freely I've received slide up, please. You see, the Bible says this, freely I have received. And we kind of sometimes think, well, maybe there's a wee full stop there. And we'll just stay parked there. We'll stay in receiving mode for the next 50 years while everyone around us is going to hell. That's right. I said hell within the first 5 minutes. If that offended you, good. Because it's not about just receiving. On the day of Pentecost, they received. And because they were received, it turned cowards into courageous warriors. Because they received, you see, they didn't receive Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Tongues of fire above their heads, speaking in new tongues. People are looking on going, well, it's like they're drunk. They were having an encounter with a living God. And Peter didn't get a scroll and put it on the door and go, you know what? We're going to call this revival. We're going to have revival meetings every night now. We're going to just pump this whole revival thing, and we're just going to meet together so this can keep happening and happening and happening. Yeah. No, he didn't. He went out on the street that day and preached the gospel, and 3,000 got added that day. You've got this. You see, I think for too long, and I'm in a different church every weekend, so I kind of can see what's happening in this thing. For too long, we've believed that the evangelist's job is to share the gospel. And the introverted Christians or the quiet Christians or the mellow Christians, they're the ones that will pray for the wild ones. That's not Bible. What the heck? We're all called to share the gospel. My job as an evangelist is to inspire you, to encourage you, to equip you to go and share the gospel. There's people in your world today. There's probably people in this room actually today. And you're on your way to hell. It breaks my heart, man. You know, we can hear so many ear-tickling messages and leadership and this and that and this and that. We need to hear the gospel. It's the gospel that set me free. When I realized that God loves me, even though I was bathing in my own sin, He came and said, I want that one. I love that one. He did it to me and He wants to do it to you. Well, when we were praying here this morning, you know, I just kind of felt that it's the pastor's job to comfort the disturbed. But it's my job to disturb the comfortable. And I'm leaving after the service. So whether you like me or not, it doesn't matter. I've worked with Leslie on this. It doesn't matter what you think of me. She's my counselor. She's amazing. I don't care. But I want you to be challenged to the core this week when you leave here to share the gospel. To divorce that fear and talk to someone about Jesus. I struggle with fear too. You see, because I'm actually kind of introverted. And it's God in me that makes me do bold things and helps me. I was preaching at this conference on Saturday in Sydney. And I was tired, man. Like, I just got back from Austria and I was home for 3 days and then off again. And I missed my kids. Eventually, Brie and I, beginning of this year, we put July as my 3 weeks off. So starting tomorrow, I'm on holiday. So I can't wait. But I was tired and I was jet-lagged. And I'm sitting on the front row waiting to get up to preach. And I think it's really important I'm really real. I didn't want to preach. I just wanted to go back to my room and have a sleep. I was so tired. I didn't feel anything. You know, sometimes it's not about a feeling. And I got up. And as I got up, I started with a big sigh. That's not a great way to start at a conference. Start up going, not a great start. And then I started sharing and I just felt Holy Ghost, the anointing starting to flow. It was beautiful, man. And I became very bold, very courageous. Even though 20 minutes earlier, I didn't feel like ministering. God just came through and just started, the whole room started getting rocked with the gospel. I give an altar call. People start running to the altar. They're on their knees, bawling, getting right with God. It was amazing. And I'm kneeling on the stage just going, flip, Jesus, you're incredible. But you see, even though God was moving in such a powerful way, and I was going, wow, this is incredible. I heard His voice. Because like I said when I was here last time, I think this is kind of a word for your church. It's not a gift to hear God's voice. You don't have to respond today to get the gift of hearing God's voice. What the heck? We're all sons and daughters and dad talks. Maybe it's time to turn off the devices or unplug Netflix and spend some time with Him. Get off Facebook and start seeking the Father's face. Holy Ghost said to me, I want you to hit suicide. I'm going, oh my goodness, kneeling. People are crying. People are encountering God. There's so much love in the room. Suicide's one of those topics that it's a little bit hard to talk about, isn't it? I tried to kill myself many years ago. My wife tried to kill herself as well. So we kind of get it. And I went, oh, nah, we might do that on Sunday session. We're not going to unpack that now, Lord. And He said, I want you to hit suicide. I went, oh, my goodness. I said, okay. I believe there's someone here and you're suicidal. I thought we'd just leave it there. And He said, keep going. And I said, as a matter of fact, I feel that you've been suicidal all week. And you're a young lady. And as I said, young lady, I just looked over and I just saw this girl just on her knees, just bawling her eyes out. I thought, wow, that's full on. And then just went and ministered to her. That's her there. Beautiful way. I was ministering to her, and then she told me her story. You see, on Monday, she decided that she was going to kill herself. So she wrote out how she wants her funeral. She wrote it all out, bit by bit, how she wants the funeral to go. She wrote a letter to her mum and her dad and her closest friends. She worked out where she was going to kill herself. She worked out how she was going to kill herself. And she worked out when she was going to kill herself. You see, she was going to kill herself on Sunday when everyone's at the church. All her friends are at church. She was not going to go to church. She was going to go to this place that she decided in her mind to take her own life. And one of her friends was hassling her all week, going, come on, you need to go and listen to this dude. He's got tattoos and dreadlocks. Some people so struggle with the way that I look. But I believe God uses that to break that religious mindset off you. So many people won't listen to a word that I say because of the way that I look. What if we were to stop judging and start loving? What if we saw people how Jesus sees people? If that stings, good. It's called conviction. So we start ministering to this young lady. It's so beautiful, man. She's a mess. And she's unpacking all this stuff on how she was going to do it, when she was going to do it, why she was going to do it. And then about an hour later, she came up to me and she said, Des, you know what? For the first time in my life, I feel seen. She said, I've felt so insignificant my whole life. She said, but when you called me out in front of the crowd and said there's a young lady with suicidal tendencies, she said, it made me realize that God is interested in me. You see, he does leave the 99 to go and find the one. He actually does. Today he wants to find you. He wants to invade your life. I had a young guy on Facebook hassle me on Facebook. Imagine if on Facebook we stopped taking photos of cats and cakes and we started preaching the gospel on our Facebooks. Did you hear that? We started preaching the gospel on our Facebook accounts so everyone knows we're not ashamed. Why would we be ashamed of one that got ripped apart for us? Wow. And he was hassling me on Facebook. Like, hardcore, mocking me. And that's okay. I made him a wee video, 1.5 minutes long, and sent it to him, telling him how much God loves him. So he sent back a whole heap of other abuse, just nailing me, man. So I thought, oh, well, there's no point. He's so angry. I don't need to put up with that. I don't need to put up with that abuse. Delete. And I unfriended him. Is that what Jesus would do? I made him another video. This time I'm crying, telling him how much I love him, telling him how much God loves him, telling him how precious he is to God. Got a whole heap more abuse. A few weeks later, I'm driving back from Hallsville from church on a Sunday. There's a big crash. And that young man, 16 years old, went through a windscreen of a car and died, man. He could never stand before Jesus and go, but Jesus, I never knew. Yeah, he did. Remember I sent that tattooed dreadlock guy, he sent you two videos. Remember that lady in the mall that day that had Jesus loves you on the t-shirt? I sent her for you. Remember that kid at school, that guy Johnny that will keep inviting you to youth group? I did that for you. I gave you all these opportunities. Today's your opportunity. God's got me here today for you. If you are away from God, backslidden, you've let sin come in and separate you from God. Hear me on this. Sin separates us from God. It really does. But God doesn't separate himself from us. The sin pushes us away from him. He wants to set you free today. If you're lukewarm, he will vomit you from his mouth. That's what the Bible says. It's better for you to be cold than lukewarm. That's in the Bible. It's better for you to be a drug dealing, drug addict, prostitute using, da 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 da, heathen than a lukewarm Christian. Why? Because a lukewarm Christian to the world, the world sees and goes, I don't want what they've got. That's not authentic. That's not real. I couldn't care less. If my life's going to look like that once I become a Christian, I don't want it. But when you invite Jesus into your life, you surrender it and you say, Lord, come and live on the throne of my life. Then people will want what you've got. They'll want it. Because the eyes are the windows to the soul. They will see God in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he wants out. I was in Cairns. This is the simplicity of the gospel. I was going to have lunch with some pastors. And I'm at the intersection. And I push the button, just waiting for the intersection to go, you can walk. These two guys pull up beside me, just walk up beside me. I go, hey man, how are you? And one guy goes, oh, yeah, I'm all right. I said, gee, you don't sound all right. He goes, well, life blankety blank blank sucks. And I said, well, isn't it awesome that you met me today? So we start walking across the road. I start sharing the gospel with them, that Jesus is alive from the dead. He's not a prophet waiting to come back. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Told him my story. Fast forward 5 minutes, we're sitting at a coffee table outside this pub, and this young man with tears pouring down his cheeks gave his life to Jesus. It was so beautiful. It was so powerful. And it started with a, hey mate, how are you? You can do that. You could say to someone, hello, how are you? I've got a friend, he's a phenomenal evangelist. His name, I'm not a dyslexia, I'm not great with names. Really, really good evangelist, you know him. Sorry, this is so embarrassing. I need to get his name. He's an amazing evangelist. Anyway, I can't remember his name. He went to a well. And he said to the lady at the well, he said, hey love, how are you? Could you draw me some water? He was very normal. Hey love, how are you going? Could I have a glass of water, please? And then he told her her life, rocked her world. And then she went, she's the first evangelist sent in the Bible. She went and told everyone and they all came to see the man that told her future. He started with a, hey love, how are you? Could I have a glass of water? I remember his name's Jesus, the most amazing evangelist. It's that simple. You've got this. You can do it. You have their invite. Let's make this not a blimmin' word in the church. Let's make this our lifestyle. We invite people to church. We invite people to Christ. Anyway, so this dude rings me that afternoon and he goes, hey bro, would you baptize me? I go, yeah man, I'd love to. And he goes, cool. So let's have a look at this photo. So that happened with a, hey mate, how are you? Beautiful. He got born again, baptized, and now he's on fire for Jesus. I'm friends with him on Facebook. But what actually happened that afternoon as well, his girlfriend contacted me and she said, hey Daz, I hear you're doing a baptism. Would you baptize me as well? And I said, yeah, are you a Christian? And she said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, that's amazing. That's a picture of Lissy leading her to Christ in the pool right there. A couple minutes after that photo, we drowned her. She came up a new creation. That started on a street with, hey mate, how you going? What's so beautiful about this story is that day, there was those two and six other family members got baptized, born again that day. A family of eight got so impacted by the gospel, by Jesus, by the Christ that's in me. You see, that's because I'm such a phenomenal communicator. I'm such an amazing Christian. I'm a traveling evangelist. That's why that happened. What? No, it's because I'm a normal Christian just like you. I just said, hello, how are you? You guys have got this. It's time to share Jesus wherever we go and divorce the fear. It's not your friend. Fear is a dog in us that we need to starve and kill it. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. What does a sound mind look like? So glad you asked. A sound mind looks like someone that preaches the gospel wherever they go. But preach it in your lane. You see, you don't have to be like me. It's probably best you don't. But you've got to do something. Blind Bartimaeus, we had that picture up there before. Even when the crowd, Mark 10:46, and the crowd are telling him to shut up and be quiet, he goes, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, goodbye. And he waddles off home with his wee stick. No, he didn't. He got louder. The Bible says he got louder. As the crowd were getting louder, he was getting louder. And he was screaming out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, bring him to me. You see, his boldness captured the attention of Jesus. Boldness captures the attention of Jesus. The Bible says, if you talk to people on earth about Jesus, Jesus will talk to the Father about you. Pretty cool to have your name talked about in heaven, eh? Well, I reckon, anyway. How long have we got? Sweet, I just want to hit a couple of practical keys when sharing the gospel. Stuff that I've seen. So if you are taking notes, this is like the best note for sharing the gospel anyone will ever give you. Are you ready? Here it is. Don't be weird. Don't be weird. I'm serious. Don't be weird. I see so many weird Christians doing weird things, it does my head in. No wonder people don't want to go to the church. Flip. When I saw a guy, this is no exaggeration, with his Bible praying for a lady on the street, hitting her like this with his Bible. He was doing that. I was saying, oh my goodness, what are you doing? What are you doing? You don't even need to take this out on the street with you. This should be in your heart. This should be a part of you. Have it in your bag. You know, and so often we can think, well, I'm not sure what to say. Cool. Say hello. Smile. It's good to smile. Yeah. I've got the joy down in my heart. We need to let our face know that sometimes. Smile and be friendly. Be normal. Be like Jesus with the woman at the well. He was very normal and then rocked her world, man. Don't smell. I'm not even joking. I've been sharing with people, other Christians, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't even concentrate what they're saying because they stink. It's good to have deodorant. It's good to have mints. You know, you know what I'm talking about. You're on a prayer line, someone's praying for you. You can't listen to what they're saying because their breath stinks. Yeah? Yeah, good. We're going to hit a few golden calves today, I tell you. Mints are great. Don't argue. We don't need to argue theology. We don't. I don't go out there to try and win an argument. I don't go out there and try and arm wrestle someone to thinking like I think. I go out there as a witness. I tell them what's happened in my life, what I've experienced. I tell them what the Word of God says. That no one gets to the Father but going through Him. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're a Sikh, a Hindu, Jehovah Witness. It doesn't matter. My message doesn't change. God loves you. He died for you. He thinks you're absolutely amazing. But He wants a relationship with you. This is a really good one too. God touches people in different ways. Because it's the power of the seed. When I look into someone's eyes and I say, hey, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. I don't care how they respond. Like, seriously, I don't. Because I believe that's the power of the seed. I believe I'm planting a seed in them about Jesus. A friend of mine rang me so excited. Hey, Dez, I've led this tattooist to the Lord today in a coffee shop. I said, awesome, bro, that's amazing. He goes, yeah, but I gave him the Bible that you got for me for Christmas. And I said, no, that's cool, sweet as. He goes, yeah, it was really cool. When I gave it to him, I said, oh, a friend of my dad's got this Bible for me. The tattooist said, is that Dad's Chettle? Because I got a tattoo or two. And my friend said, yes. And he goes, Dad stopped me on the street 10 years ago and told me that Jesus loves me. You see, he carried that seed for 10 years. It's the power of the seed. It's that name that is above all names. That name, Jesus. Don't be deceived. If you die without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will spend eternity separated from him. The Bible says that hell is shut up, closed, and sealed. Someone needed to hear that this morning. Okay, here's a few excuses. I'll just quickly go through these. These are excuses that I've actually heard myself. That's why I've written them down. The first one is, evangelism is not my gift. Well, that's cool. Then you don't need to stand up and train people in evangelism then. Because the gift of the evangelist is to do this, not to do that. Knocking on someone's door, hello, Sue, I just want you to know God loves you. That's not evangelism. That's normal Christianity. That's caring for the one that's in front of you. My life is such a fantastic witness, I don't need to share with people. No, you need to open your mouth. You need to open your mouth and words will come out about Jesus. Fear is a massive one, I get it. So many people say, Daz, I'm too scared to talk to complete strangers. And I totally get it. Start with your family. Share Jesus with the family, the ones that you love. As a body of Christ, we need to learn to do awkward well. I tried to witness to people, but it just didn't work. Cool. I've got far more stories of train wrecks that I've been involved with where I've gone to someone. There was a postie coming down the road, and I said to Matty Russell, him and I were hanging out. I said, bro, I've got a word for the postie. And he goes, cool, man. What's the word? I said, well, man, God gave me his name. And Matty goes, really? And I said, yeah, man, this is going to rock him. How could you deny, he wasn't wearing a name badge either, how could you deny God if someone knows your name? So the postie comes up to us. I said, hey, bro, how are you? He said, yeah, good. I said, look, I'm a Christian. I was just talking to God about you as I saw you biking down the footpath, and God told me what your name is. And the guy goes, really? And I go, yeah, man, check this out. Your name's John, eh? And he went, no, it's not. I said, is your dad's name John? He goes, no. Do you have a cat? No. He goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm hearing from God. He said, well, you're not doing very well. So it was super awkward, but we laughed. And then we spent the next 20 minutes sharing the gospel with him. Tears rolling down his cheeks. He had an encounter with God. And the introduction was horrible. Another one, very quickly, I was in the bank, I saw a young lady walking down the footpath, and I thought, man, I've got to go and speak to her. I just knew, you know, I have to go and speak to her. There was a couple of people in front of me, a couple of people behind me, and I just thought, man, I've got to go and see her. So I leave my position in the bank. Isn't that interesting? We'd leave the thing that we think's really important to do, we'd leave that to go and find one. And I went running up to her. By the time I got to her, I was a wee bit puffed, and I haven't played rugby for a while, and sweating. And I tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, hi, I'm Darren, I'm a Christian. Stupid idiot, what'd you say? She goes, what? I said, oh, I'm a Christian. And just did that awkward, you know, that awkward. And she just stood there and said, well, I'm not. And I went, oh, cool. And she just walked off. And I knew that God wanted me to speak to her, so I started following her. And as I'm following her, she's looking behind, and I'm just like that. And she starts putting up on the pace. She must do power walking or something. Yeah. And I start picking up the pace, and it's getting very weird. And she went to walk around the corner, and I said, hey, just one last thing. And she turned around angry. She said, "What?" And I said, 2 years ago, when you had an abortion, I want you to know your little boy is with Jesus right now. That lady burst into tears on the street, came to me, wrapped her arms around me, bawling her eyes out, makeup running down my sleeve, man. The introduction was horrible, but God turned up. He will use any situation. The following Sunday, she was in our church on her knees. This is when I was in Gisborne, and gave her life to Jesus. Because she had an encounter with a living God, not a blimmin' religion, not a name in a book. He's alive from the dead, and he loves you so much. Right, very quickly. I'm too busy. I hear that a lot. It's not my responsibility. Well, actually, it is. A lot of people tell me I don't believe in hell. It's right through the Bible, man. This new grace message that's going around, I hate it. We need to stand up against it. That everyone goes to heaven. What the heck? If that's true, that makes God the Father look like the most horrible child beater ever. That he would send his son to get ripped apart on a cross for no particular reason because everyone makes it. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. So we don't have to spend eternity separated from God in hell. This is not Bible, this is just what I think. The Bible says when one sinner repents, all the angels in heaven rejoice. And I've prayed about that a lot, and that really inspires me, man. And I think, this is not Bible, this is just me. Just made that quite clear. I think it's because the angels see how many people fall into hell every day. So when one gets saved, they all rejoice. Because that's one that's not going to spend eternity in hell. If this roof was to fall down right now and squash us all, where would you go? Heaven or hell? It's not fear tactics, it's truth. That young man on Facebook, he didn't know, I didn't know, that he only had weeks left on planet Earth. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. I've got a whole heap more stuff, but we'll save that for next time. I was leading this outreach in Perth. I don't like outreach, but I seem to lead a lot of them. The reason I don't like them is because so often we can go right from 7 till 9 on Friday night, that's outreach. So we tick the outreach box for the week. They're so beautiful. Don't worry about them. They're cool, man. It's like my house. I love. So we tick the outreach box. And we go, cool, we did outreach for the week. And then when we're on outreach, we do things that we wouldn't normally do. We're bolder than what we are on Tuesday at the hairdressers because we're on outreach and with other people. What if we realize that we are the outreach? We don't do it, we are the outreach. And what if we realize that we are on outreach every moment of every day? Because if we're on outreach every moment of every day, then it just becomes part of our lifestyle. It becomes authentic to us. It becomes very normal. Then it doesn't get weird. Hey, it's all right, dude. It's okay. Yeah. So cute. I've got a wee two-year-old at home. So I was leading this outreach in Perth. Long story short, I said to this young lady, I said, "Where should we go?" I didn't know Perth very well. She said, "I want to go to the pub." I said, yeah, we do. Let's go to the pub. So we go to the pub. Hey, we went to the pub. And as I walked into the pub, I heard Holy Ghost. You see, because it's not a gift to hear his voice. I'm a son. Dad talks. Dad said, "You're going in for one." Awesome. Thank you. So I go in, and there's a karaoke set up in the bar. If you're a preacher and you see a karaoke, that's a microphone in a pub. That's pretty cool. But I've made a lot of mistakes over the years, so I've learned to do stuff properly. So I thought, I'm going to go and ask the manager if I can preach on the karaoke. And so I went and found the manager, and I said, "Hey, bro, my name's Daz. I'm from New Zealand. I'm here preaching. Would I be able to preach in the pub tonight?" And he went, yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. I said, "Really? Are you sure? You know, I'm going to not sing. I'm going to talk about Jesus." He goes, yeah, go for it, mate. Go and sign up. So got on the stage, shared my testimony. told them what we were doing in Armidale. It was powerful, man. Then a friend of mine, Nathan Fawcett, he got up and sung Amazing Grace. It's powerful, man. We're on a plane, actually, and I preached the gospel on a plane. And then Nathan got up after me and started singing Amazing Grace. The whole plane was singing Amazing Grace. Oh, it was so good. Anyway, as I'm walking out of the bar, this lady taps me on the shoulder and she said, I really needed to hear that. And I said, wow, you're the one. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I felt God say to me as I walked in here that you're going in for the one and that's you. Fast forward five minutes, she's on her knees outside the pub, rededicating her life to Jesus. People are walking past, taking photos, doing selfies, as her and I are kneeling outside this pub, and she's surrendering her life to Jesus. You see, how tragic would it be to give Jesus your heart and forget to give him your life? And you may be thinking, well, Dad, that's a cool story, but did that really happen like that? Or is that just a little bit evangelistic-ish? Maybe you need to watch the video. If we could kill the lights and watch this last clip. That is not a picture, a little clip of evangelism. That is a clip of normal Christianity. That's what it looks like to be a normal Christian. People's lives get impacted wherever you go. Why? Because you've got God living in you. It's like seriously amazing. What's so beautiful about her story is she struggled with alcoholism her whole life. And she's in the bar that night drinking sodas, thinking to herself, why don't I feel like a wine tonight? So when we had that encounter with God outside on her knees, she was stone cold sober. And she tasted a new wine. Maybe that's a wine that you need to taste today. Maybe you've come in here today and you've been carrying shame and guilt and condemnation and all this junk. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while. I don't need eyes closed and heads bowed. That does my head in, to be honest. Seriously, why would we close our eyes and whip our hand up and whip it down so no one can see when Jesus got torn apart on a cross, publicly nude? Like, seriously? Is that how PC we've become? Sorry, not me. I actually want to put barbed wire, if I could, across this altar and say, today, if you need to get right with God, you need to get through the barbed wire. I'm often now, when I'm giving altar calls, saying, if you're not serious, go and sit back down. You see, I'm not interested in just a little half-baked emotional decision. He wants your life. You're surrendering your life over to Jesus. I am not going to be responsible for someone making a half-baked decision to follow God. No way, man. You're in or you're out. You're gathering or scattering. It's very black and white. So that's why I don't have the lights dimmed. I don't say to people, close your eyes. Because it's going to be hard for you to respond today. Especially, I know there's some Christians in here and you're backslidden. Sin has come in. There's these addictions that you think are secret. But they're not. Jesus sits on the throne. Sorry, on the seat in the theater of your mind. He sees everything that goes through your mind every day. Nothing's hidden. And all he wants is all of you. And so often we're so worried about what the person beside us would think or what pastor would think that we won't respond. It's fear. It's fear of man. So for me, doing this all the time, I've realized that once I stop preaching as I did 2 minutes ago, this is your turn. If the whole church responds, that's amazing. If no one responds, that's amazing. Do you know why? Because I'm not going to make this easy. I don't want this to be easy. I want you to go, I want Jesus, I want all of you. I want you to come and invade my life. You are the peace I've been searching for my whole life. You are the Prince of Peace. I need that peace today. Christian does not mean perfect. Blimmin' heck, ask my wife. I fall over all the time. I get grumpy with my kids. I say stupid things. But I'm a normal human that loves God. The most profound thing Jesus ever said, I believe, is follow me. Follow me. My question today is, are you following Jesus? Or are you following this religious mindset of a God that you don't really know? Maybe you haven't heard the gospel before. I'm just going to paint a quick picture in 2 minutes. This is the gospel. One of Jesus' friends handed him over for a bag of coins. They arrested him. The Roman soldiers arrested him. They tied him to a pole and they started whipping him and beating him. They put a sack over his head. This is not an Easter story. This is an everyday story. This is a love letter to you. They'd punch him in the head and punch him in the head. They'd say, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. They spat in his face. They stripped him naked. They gambled for his clothing. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns over his head. This is Jesus. This is the Jesus that I met 23 years ago. They lay him out on that cross. They slammed 9-inch nails through his hands. They chopped his feet together. They slammed another nail through his feet. They tied a rope around that cross and they pulled it up. The Bible says, as he be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. It was such a beautiful act of love, and he did it for you and for me. And all he wants is all of us. He died on that cross that day for you and for me. 3 days later, rose from the dead. The Bible says he appeared to one, he appeared to 12. Then it says he appeared to over 500 at once. One or two or 12 could kind of be spinning a bit of a yarn. But he appeared to over 500 human beings at once with holes in his hand, the resurrected Jesus. And 23 years ago, he appeared to me. And today, he wants to appear to you. If that's you in here, and you need to get right with God, or you've never given him your life, you've never handed over your life to him, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Be brave. He loves you. He so loves you. And just like the young man in the car that went through the windscreen, you've got an opportunity right now. You see, you could never say, well, I never heard. Because Jesus would say, yeah, you did. Remember that day at Leeston? That guy? He gave you an opportunity. Or maybe you're in here and you've given your life to God and stuff's come in. Life's come and kicked you in the teeth and you just feel a million miles away from him. Today is your day as well. You see, I get what it's like to have life kick me in the teeth. I had my dead little Mackenzie, my wee baby in my hand, man. I get what it's like for life to kick us in the teeth. God bless you, bro. Who else? It's brave, man. God loves courage. He loves it. He responds to courage. God bless you, bro. Who else? I'm a dog with a bone, man. I'm not going to let this go. If you're feeling uncomfortable and your heart's beating right now and you're thinking, man, that's me. I wish I could, but I'm just too scared. Get over it. Divorce it. That voice is not your voice, man. The devil is a liar. The Bible says he is the father of lies. Don't listen to it. If you're struggling in here today, today is the day for breakthrough. Today is the day where you can walk out without that junk. You can walk out of here today born again. Spirit filled. with a God that loves you so much inside of you, and He'll wash your sin away. It's amazing, man. I'm just going to give it another couple of minutes. You see, I know there's more people. It's probably good that you know that I don't get uncomfortable in these seemingly uncomfortable situations. I'm in them often. I actually am very comfortable, because eternity is the wrong thing to be wrong about. If you die without Jesus, or you die lukewarm, it's not going to end good. And He just wants to come and wrap His arms around you and show you how much He loves you. You see, He really does knock on the door of our hearts. But sometimes we can think we're too cool. We can think we're too staunch. We can think we're too busy to get up off our couch and go and open that door. I want you to know He is hammering on your door right now. I just really felt that was a God thing, man. That wasn't a Daz bit, but that was a God bit. Right now, He is hammering on the door of your heart. But you've got free will, which is the most beautiful thing. He didn't make robots. He made humans that have free will. And if that's you, if you can just feel God convicting you, saying, come on, who cares what anyone thinks? Stand up for me. Do this for an audience of one. Today is your day. I'm going to count down from 10. Father, I just come against fear in this room right now. I speak to fear and unbelief in this room right now, and we kick it out in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray today would be a day of breakthrough. Father, I pray today that it would be a day of salvation. Father, I pray today would be a day of healing. Physical and emotional healing today. In Jesus' name. 10. 9. 8. God bless you, bro. God bless you guys. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. I want that row there. I want you guys, all you guys, to know that He's madly in love with you. That I'm pulling you out in front of this whole church and saying, what are you guys doing with Jesus? He loves you so much. It's time to stop playing games, man. It's all or nothing. I want you to finish well. I want you to have the peace of the gospel in you wherever you go. If you're offended by me, it is what it is. But if you guys need to stand up, stand to your feet today. Today is the day of breakthrough, man. But you've got free will. And unless you're 100, don't stand. 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the brave soldiers that have stood up today. Lord, I thank you that everyone that stood, that everyone's on a different path, a different track, a different lane, standing for different reasons. Lord, I thank you that you see the heart, that you see the heart of man. Okay, what I want you guys to do, I want you to come up here. Don't worry about what anyone thinks. And we're going to kneel at this altar. There's something so beautiful about kneeling before Jesus. You see, if He walked in the room right now, because He's not hanging on a cross stool, the Bible said He's got fire in His eyes, a sword coming out of His mouth. His hair is white like wool. His feet are bronze like in a furnace. He's got a name engraved on his thigh that no man knows. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. That's the Jesus that's madly in love with you. You guys, it's not too late. I love you guys, it's not too late. You know, the Bible says, just for the record, there is no sinner's prayer. Okay, we kind of made that up 70 years ago. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him up from the dead, you will be saved. So yeah, there is a prayer required, but this whole interaction right now is between your heart and God. I want you to know that what you carry to this altar today, you are going to leave it at this altar. That sin, that junk, those insecurities, that rubbish. When you stand to your feet and turn around, you are washed clean in His blood. You are free. The Bible says, who the Son, that's not that big thing in the sky, it's the Son of God, it's Jesus. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. You'll be so free, man. You'll be free from what people think about you. You'll be free from public opinion. You'll be free. So beautiful. I want to lead you guys in a prayer right now. Dear Jesus, oh my goodness, that was like we're in a retirement village. Let's put a little bit of passion into it. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on a cross for me, as me. I ask you to forgive me right now of all of my sin. Come back into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my best friend. Sit on the throne of my life.
Yes, Jesus.
And I'll make you known. I will make you known wherever I go. Because you deserve to be talked about. Come now and invade my life. Amen and amen. God bless you. There's no rush to get back to your seat. Because I want you to know that your posture has changed. You were sitting on a chair 5 minutes ago. Now you're on your knees. You changed your posture. You did a Bartimaeus. You got the attention of God. And as you walk back to your seat, I want you to know that you are free. And the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. Do not listen to one lie today. Thank you, Jesus. If you struggle with fear in here, just fear of man, fear of worried about what people think, this is kind of a bit of family business now. If you're too scared to share the gospel because fear paralyzes you, it does actually paralyze some people. It used to paralyze me. Because I believe it's a spirit, because the Bible says he didn't give us a spirit of fear. Well, if he didn't give us a spirit of fear, then it is a spirit and we shouldn't own it. So I want to break that off people today. If you struggle with fear, I want you to stand to your feet right now. And by standing to your feet, you'll actually be pushing through that fear barrier. If you struggle with fear, I'd love to pray for you. Who else struggles with fear? It's not your friend, man. Fear is not your friend. Fear is the stranger's voice. We need to understand that the devil is real. Yes, there is not a devil behind every tree, every corner. I'm not devil focused at all. As a matter of fact, it's little Lucy. On that day, we're going to go, really? Were you that? You pathetic little flea. So I'm not devil focused guy, but I believe he is real, and I believe he wants to shut you up and shut you down. The way that he does that is you living in fear and shame. Fear and shame. So I'm going to pray. And I believe that God is going to break those chains of fear today. Because if he can do that to me, he can do that to you. I've seen so many conservative, lovely Christians boldly preach in malls, on planes, share the gospel wherever they go, because they divorced fear. But you see, once we pray, then you need to go and live this thing out outside the church building. So my advice is this: do something today that you're too scared to do. Share the gospel with someone today. A fantastic practical way to keep the fear out of your life is this. This is what I love to do. I try and get about 3 to 5 good rejections a day. I'm not even joking. Where people tell me to shut up, get out of my face, I'm not interested. There's people in this room, you were thinking it for the last 15 minutes. I don't care. Because it burns that fear out of you, where you're not trying to please people. You're doing this whole walk for an audience of one. And when you're not carrying it, you're going to be so much more free to hear Father's voice and speak stuff into people's lives and see their lives totally impacted, just like the lady that had the abortion on the street. I could have been so scared by that. She thought I was hitting on her. It was horrible. But God. I just want you to put your hands out right now. Just get ready to receive. Father, right now, I just pray for every single person. And we just break fear in Jesus' name. We just break fear off them right now in Jesus' name. Father, we speak boldness and courage into every single person that's standing up right now in Jesus' name. No more fear. No more fear. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray for an army of righteous soldiers that are right standing before you, Lord. No more fear. No more fear. I just see you've been, as I've been talking, you've just been sort of almost sucking in the stuff that I've been saying. And I believe that's because you see what's in me because you've got it in you. It's time to run, man. No more fear, in Jesus' name. Boldness and courage. I speak boldness and courage. Boldness and courage. Boldness and courage. Thank you, Jesus. We just break fear right now in Jesus' name. We break fear right now in Jesus' name. No more fear. No more fear. We divorce it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. No more fear. No more fear. Boldness and courage. Holy Ghost, fire. Father, I pray for the fire of the gospel to hit every single person in this room, actually. Just like on the day of Pentecost. No more fear. No more fear. Lord, I thank you that you're building an army of warriors that aren't intimidated. No more fear. No more fear. Thank you, Jesus. Boldness and courage. Boldness and courage. Boldness and courage. This man being loved. He loves you so much, bro. Boldness and courage. Father, we just speak to every lie. I just sense as I grabbed your hands that there's been just bombarding with lies about yourself. And I just want to stand with you right now, and we break every one of those lies in Jesus' name. I speak boldness and courage into you right now. You're a woman of God, and He's madly in love with you. Nothing you can do will make Him love you anymore. It's amazing, man. Like, seriously amazing. Hey, bro. We just speak to fear right now. We just break it in Jesus' name. I impart boldness and courage, boldness and courage. Thank you, Jesus. No more fear. Fear gone, Jesus. Boldness and courage. Father, I pray you'd hit it like a Mack truck. You know, if you get hit by a Mack truck, you come up different. You're not the same ever again. I pray that God would just, like Saul on the road to Damascus, he'd just hit you off your horse and give you such an encounter how madly he is in love with you. In Jesus' name. No more fear. Boldness and courage. Lord, show how much you love her. You love her so much, you got ripped apart for her. So much. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. More. Boldness and courage. Boldness and courage. Thank you, Jesus. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unskilled, ordinary men, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. For this to continue in your life, spend time with Jesus. Ask. Thank you, Jesus. Boldness. Courage. Father, I pray right now that you just flood her with your kindness, your love. Lord, show her how proud of her you are. I just really feel that's a word for you today, that he's so proud of you. He is so proud of you. Because Christianity is about the heart. He's so proud of you. So proud of you. Thank you, Jesus. Boldness and courage. Thank you, Jesus. Boldness and courage. No more fear. Father, I thank you that in this room today, this is a funeral service for fear. Lord, that as we walk out of here, that we would be as courageous as lions. Thank you, Jesus. Boldness and courage. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. You did a great job with the slides and videos. Thank you so much. You did awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray right now for boldness and courage. No more fear. No more fear. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Boldness and courage. Boldness and courage. Thank you, Jesus. I just felt as I was actually praying for that beautiful lady that there's people in this room and you're praying for family members. I want you to know that I am a result of my mother's prayers. My mum used to wake up at 2, 3 in the morning on her knees praying for her son as I was drunk in a gutter somewhere. I would rather have ISIS chase me than a praying mum. So I want you guys to keep praying for your siblings. Keep praying for your friends. Just keep praying. Just birth them in prayer. Because I am a miracle, man. I met a God I wasn't even looking for. I met a God I didn't even believe in. He changed my life. So pick someone in your family. Someone at school. Someone in your workplace. And don't preach at them. Start here, praying for them. Father, I thank you for my sister Sonia. Lord, I pray that you'd bind her to your cross. You would show her how much you love her. You want to see people saved in your world? It starts here. Put time in on your knees for your loved ones, man. And then he'll fill you up and pour you out and give you the right words to say at the right time. God bless you guys. I love you heaps. Sorry it got a bit intense, but it is what it is.